Triple M, Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockcliffe, Cow Ferguson, and Tom Armour opening up the phones right now. 133-53, umpire descent. Has it gone way too far? This one rocked the footy world last night.
Good Mark Ward.
Umpire descent.
And umpire descent. That was the arms, was it?
Oh, word, the descent. What it was for.
Is that descent?
So he's trying to say the ball hit the ground. I mean, how's that descent? Really? Is this what we want?
So the young St Kilda player, all he was trying to say was the ball has hit the ground when Callan Ward has gone into market. Yeah. That's what he thought. He was pointing to the ground, down, 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 did it three or four times, and that was a 50-metre penalty, and then obviously resulted in a goal. Rock, I want to hear your thoughts after playing 200 games at the elite level.
I think we've forgot that there's a human element to all of this. So we know that the umpires are going to make mistakes, players make mistakes. It's not an umpiring issue. It's the rules committee issue that have got it wrong in this instance, I think. We all understand that we don't want to abuse umpires and we want to take that out of the game, which is a fantastic initiative. But where's the line here? Because you need to be able to show some passion. You ask the players to go out there, play on instincts.
Yep.
But then we ask them not to impulsively, which they can't control when in the heat of the battle and the emotion, to get upset about a decision that they know is wrong. So a descent, certainly one thing. Putting your arms out is not descent.
Mm.
Or pointing at the ground is not descent. So For this now, it's become an overreach and gone way too far. And now players don't have a relationship with the umpires because the umpires, they want to have a relationship and there is mutual respect there, but they can't even talk to them. You can't even discuss something with an umpire out there on the ground. And the game is losing its fabric at the moment, I think.
No, I'd agree with you, Rocky, 100%. It feels like they've just gone way too far with it. It seems as well that they've lost touch and lost a feel for what's actually happening out there and what's okay, what's not. They're not consistent enough at the moment with it as well. We're seeing occasions where players earlier in the game waving their arms around, umpires not seeing it, obviously, and not paying the 50. And if they have seen it, then it's a disastrous decision not to pay the 50. So, look, at the moment, I'm starting to wonder whether they're getting out to footy clubs enough, starting to build those relationships. I'm interested to know, Rocky, if you ever saw the umpires down at training, because that's how you build rapport.
Yeah.
So if they are doing that, that would be great. But all of the rules that are being put in place now would be tearing down those gains made anyway.
Yeah, they certainly do. So they go most of pre-season, you'll have two or three umpires at every session. And then during the year, I know that they go down and help training. And it builds that relationship with your local umpires, but certainly across the competition, and gives you an understanding of the rules that are in place and how they're going to try to officiate them. So they were big when they came in to talk about the stand rule and stuff like that. So you get to know the umpires on a personal level, and then you go out there and perform. They're performing their role, and their duty is to umpire the game, and you're going out there to play your game. And now you can't even talk.
Yeah.
You can't even look at an umpire funny. Like, it's going to get to the point where they pay a free kick or a 50-metre penalty because he looked at me funny.
Two things for me. So there was one with Ben Long about maybe 20 minutes earlier. That it was actually demonstrative. Okay,
yes.
So
yes.
that was a 50-metre penalty. That wasn't paid.
Mm.
So, and then it was McKenzie. Dan McKenzie was the player that was pointing that the ball would hit the deck. And that wasn't at all aggressive. He was just asking a question. The thing that scares me, and I think this is quite ironic, is that we want to be more respectful to umpires. I totally get that. And I think it will get to a stage with 44 players on the field that will be. Punters in the crowd, good luck.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck. And this is going to stem down from the AFL level down to community level. And this is why we're 6,000 umpires short. This is not the answer.
No, I agree with you 100%. Yeah, well, it just feels like the feel for the game's gone. There's going to be all the work they're putting into relationship building out in the ground, which is the stuff that everyone sees on TV and gets frustrated about, is just being put to waste, really. They're doing a lot of hard work in this area, and it's being thrown out.
So as a player and now as a fan, all I want is consistency.
Correct.
Yes.
That's all you want.
Spot on.
And the AFL Rules Committee have left it up to be interpreted by the umpire, which is going to be 50 different opinions from 50 different umpires.
Right. Righto, let's do this. 133-53. Has this umpire descent rule ruined the game? I know that sounds harsh, but I honestly think it genuinely could be. 133-53. Want to hear your thought, family? Got some double passes to give away to Adelaide United as well. 133-53. Has the umpire descent rule ruined the game? We'll take your calls next. Dead Set Legends. Triple M, Got your Dead Cert Legends in the hot seat to 11:30 this morning. Then Triple M rocks football. The Adelaide Football Club take on the Western Bulldogs down at Ballarat. But right now, boys, we're talking about the umpire dissent, the new rule that's come into the 2022 season. Has it ruined the game? Here's how BT and Matthew Richardson saw it last night on Channel 7.
Good Mark Ward.
Umpire dissent.
And umpire dissent. That was the arms, was it?
Oh, word, the dissent. What it was for.
Is that dissent? So he's trying to say the ball hit the ground. I mean, how's that dissent? Really? Is this what we want?
So Brian Taylor and Matthew Richardson there, 1,300 goals between them, and they had no idea about... They're still trying to wrap their heads around it. I mean, so, you know, you feel for the everyday punter.
Well, you do. And look, BT was never one to be demonstrative in front of the umpires, was he? But, look, I speaking to Rocky off air before, he made a really good point. First, it was a stand rule last year.
Yeah.
Now it's this dissent rule.
Mm.
So basically, the 25 years that you've spent in the game coming into this season,
yep,
and last season has been thrown out, really. A lot of that natural emotion, those natural movements that you would make throughout those years,
yep,
has to go out with the bathwater. And now you're finding your feet again. A lot of these players don't know if they're Arthur or Martha out there at the moment.
Yep, pretty simple, wouldn't it, Rob?
So we've taken personalities out of the game, mm-hmm, effectively. We've taken them away in the media. We don't want players to have an opinion on anything because we'll jump all over them and yep, everyone will slam them for everything. Now we're doing it on field to them.
Yeah.
Players can't go out there and be themselves and interact with an umpire, have a conversation about a decision that they may know that's incorrect or whether it's correct or not. They just want clarity around it. They can't even do that now.
We're taking your calls all morning. 1-3-3-5-3. Has umpire dissent ruined the game? I know it's tough, but we've got to ask the question. 1-3-3-5-3. As we go to Mick from Craigmore, your thoughts, please.
How you going, mate? I think it's a joke, mate.
Yep.
It's getting people aren't going to the footy for that reason.
Wow.
The stand rule, you might as well play netball.
Yeah, right. So you think it's more the stand rule rather than the dissent rule?
Oh, all of it. Yeah, you can't even show your frustration.
Mm.
Yeah, people get frustrated out on the oval and they can't show that.
Yep.
You know, and that one last night, I was watching the game. As soon as I saw that, I turned the TV off. Okay. I wasn't interested. It's a joke. It's ridiculous.
It's a great point you make there, Mick. Why is there so many rule changes? Why do we need so many rule changes year on year? I understand protecting the head. We've evolved in that front.
Yeah.
But why do we need to keep tinkering with the game? Just leave it as it was 5-10 years ago. And I'm an ex-player now, so everyone says, oh, the game was better when I played. But all these silly changes that we're making, we're just ruining it and making it harder for everyone to enjoy the game.
So you're recently retired. Mitch Robinson's still playing.
Yes.
And he tweeted last night, I cannot watch this.
Yeah.
You know, it was along those lines, or he can't watch. Have you got it there, Ferg, do you? Or?
Yeah, I've got it. So, look, he basically threw a tweet out. So did Bernie Vince, actually.
Yeah, he did.
He said, I can't watch footy anymore, Mitch Robinson.
Yeah.
And then Bernie also said, this dissent rule has to change.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Ruining the game.
As we go to Paul from Goolwa. Paul, hello, mate. Dissent rule, was it ruining the game?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, this is leeching through society where you can't have an opinion, you can't have a voice, and you've got to be, you know, they're draconian rules.
Mm.
And these players are out there trying to put on a performance for the public, and we can't have games dictated by someone said the wrong thing or showed a bit of emotion. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is most definitely going to ruin the game. And, you know, I can't believe where footy's gone. I mean, it's more political now than anything.
Yeah, we're going to lose all the characters out of the game, aren't we?
Oh, we're losing characters left, right and centre because they can't express who they are.
Yeah.
They're young men that want to express themselves on the field and they're not allowed to.
Yep, I like it. As we go to Broadview, Paul, umpire dissent, ruining the game? Yes or no?
It depends if you actually want to retain umpires or not. And I don't believe that can ruin a game. If you actually look at NFL and NCAA American football, and I've umpired American football at the highest level in Australia, is that you've got characters in the game still.
Yep.
And there's very rarely any dissent that you really publicly see towards umpires in American football because they celebrate and they compete against two teams. And that's the philosophy of the game. The game is actually about two teams taking battle to each other, and the umpires are not your team, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, they'll make mistakes, and they'll cop it from the spectators and so on. But when a decision, rightly or wrongly, is made, the team should get up and battle against the team again, because the game here just continues on.
Paul, I understand where you're coming from, and I tend to agree. Like, you don't want to go over the top, and we're all in agreement that the dissent has to come out of the game. But the problem is AFL House will come out and never say that an umpire got something wrong. Mm. They'll always say they got it right. So there is no accountability there.
Actually, I do. In Australian football, yeah, I agree. Totally agree with that. In what we did here in Adelaide, all our games were always videoed, and we would say if we stuffed up or not. And one of my things in training of officials was never to make a game-changing call.
Yep.
So nothing that's going to be weak. And you should be umpiring to a grand final level as much as you can.
Mm, yeah, well said.
Every week, so that you don't give up an easy goal. But if there's a free kick in front of goal for knocking the arms or whatever, it's got to be paid.
Yeah, good call, Paulie. I like well that. Said, as we go to Marion, we got Nick there. Umpire dissent ruining the game?
Yeah, it is. Mine's more about the stand rule, boys.
Okay.
I think when it came in, like, it opened up play, but now all the clubs have worked out how to get around it. And my question is, like, you look at soccer, which isn't my favourite sport, but their rules haven't changed really for 100 years.
Nah,
how come every year the AFL has to change rules?
Yep.
And also in local footy, we don't have the stand rule. We don't have all these random rules that the AFL brings in
because
they're just not natural rules, I don't think.
Yeah, that's a good,
really good point.
They're not natural rules. And also what's happened with the stand rule is the offensive team are now trying to milk the 50-metre penalty
by hanging the ball out
to get a handball try and get that bloke to take half a step so he gets 50.
Well,
so,
players are celebrating. You could hear in the background of that that call
audio,
on the scent earlier, you could hear a player in the background going, yeah, well done. Like,
yeah.
Seriously.
I know.
That's where we're at.
It's all changed, and obviously we can't get all the calls. Sorry about that. But you can get us on the text line as well. 0488 51047. Triple M. Triple M. You got your Dead Set Legends here until 11:30. Then Triple M rocks footy. The Crows taking on the Western Bulldogs down at Ballarat. Should be a massive, massive game. But right now, we need to talk about some concerning behaviour that has sprinted over my desk this week. And we've got all of us here, obviously, Cal Ferguson, Tom Rockcliffe, myself, and our producer, Tommy Basso. Hello, mate.
Morning. Why am I here?
Well, one of us has stuffed up royally.
Wouldn't have been me.
We're all about self-promotion in here, aren't we?
100%.
How much is too much, Ferg?
Well, there's a line.
Yeah, there's a big line. And Tommy Basso, you're no longer required in this conversation, so you can take your headphones off.
All right,
I'll turn your microphone off.
See you later.
You're out. Which leaves two.
Yes.
Callum Ferguson and Tom Rockcliffe.
Mm-hmm.
Rocky, you're all right. You're okay.
I'm safe.
You're safe.
Oh.
This is all about young Callum Ferguson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think he might have gone just a bridge too far.
Right. Over
the past couple of weeks. Rocky and I had heard some concerning behaviour was probably the big one, wasn't it, Rock?
Terrible. It's gone way too far for us. So we thought we'll just give our mate Greg Blewett a call.
Yep.
We'll have a quick chat to him Friday afternoon, see what he's up to.
It was pretty cruisy. He had no idea that we recorded this. And we're going to be playing it live on air right now. But
sorry, Blue.
Sorry about that, Bluey. But it all sort of turned around on Fergie and his golf weekend that he had a couple of weekends ago, Rock. And here's how it went down.
What is coming here?
G'day, Bluey here.
G'day, Bluey. It's Rocky and Tomo. How are you, mate?
Rocky and Tomo. How you going, boys?
Yeah, Bluey. Good as gold. We just thought we'd give you a call. We're obviously just in the studio on this Friday afternoon, and just thought we'd catch up, mate, and see how you're going.
Yeah, no, I'm all right, mate. I'm looking forward to a big show. We're at the Arca Bar. There's Arvo. You guys dropping in, or I think Ferg's dropping in, actually.
Ferg, is he? He's dropping in.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Did you go to the range or anything today? Have a swing?
I just pulled in. I just thought I'd have a quick little hit, get ready for tomorrow, and then hit the show running tonight.
Hey, how did that golf trip go last week?
Oh, mate, awesome. It was bloody good. We got lucky with the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Fergie went on that as well, so I don't know whether you knew that. He was my co-host.
Hell.
Mate, he went bloody well, but I tell you what, it did get a bit embarrassing because, so we were down there for three nights, right? So we had to host three of the prize nights and stuff like that. And he started this thing called the Dishonorable Mentions, which is, you know, for the people that had the crappy rounds.
Yep,
and okay. The first night he was, you know, he just sort of read the results out. And then the second night, he had a few beers and he got up there and honestly, he just went to town on these poor blokes, and he was yelling at the top of his...
Oh, wow.
And one of the... We sat down. Everyone loved it, but everyone sat down. And one of the blokes said, oh, mate, you could be the next James Brayshaw the way, you know, you carried that out. But I tell you what, like, just between me and you, like, it got embarrassing. Like, he sort of, like, you could see his eyes go wide open. And and then about half an hour later, he said to me, he goes, do you actually think I could be the next James Brayshaw? He did, fair dinkum. And then, like, by the third night, he was completely in character. He thought he was James Brayshaw. And he actually called me fat. He thought I was Billy.
He started calling you fat.
So it's going. Yeah. No. The one thing about James Brayshaw is when he opens his mouth, he doesn't go for 14 minutes.
And he's actually got some sort of storytelling ability where Ferg's got zero.
No, well, the dishonourable mentions is for, like, normally for the worst score of the round, right? But he turned it into, there were, like, 15 mentions. There was, like, so he took it. So one thing that was meant to go for 10 seconds ended up going for 10 minutes.
Which is
typical Ferg, but I don't know. Like, I don't know how to handle it because he seriously thinks, like, he's like, yeah, I'm working for Channel 7. That's, you know, James is there. I'm, you know, obviously Triple M. I know my footy. You know, should I start calling games?
Funny you mentioned that. He messaged me this morning. He heard that we were one boundary short and he said, I can do the boundary. I'm trying to get in.
I don't know. So, you know, like, he's a good mate of mine. So I don't know how to handle it. What do I do?
Maybe we'll address that on air tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's probably best to, because that's the best way of therapy here at Triple M is we address stuff on air, don't you reckon, Blue?
Well, I think he, again, just between me, I think he's getting a bit ahead of himself, Fergie. He sort of thinks he's, I think he mentioned something about Dead Set Legends as well, like he's the number one man in there. And he's like, but you know, the live reads, he's got to really up the ante and sound a bit like James Brayshaw as well and carry the boys. So I don't know. Yeah, just have a word, mate. Just have a quiet word.
He does dial up the volume a bit in the live reads, doesn't he?
No, just have a quiet word. I reckon he's just getting it. And if you need me to have a chat, I'm happy to.
We might give you a call. But so Ferg thinks he's the next James Brayshaw.
Yep.
Either he thinks he is James Brayshaw or he thinks he's going to be the next James Brayshaw. Yeah. So
beautiful. All right. Well, we might have a bit of a chat tomorrow. And obviously, yeah, we'll keep this between us.
All right. That'd be great. All right. Cheers, boys.
Oh, Fergie.
What about that? What's going on, Ferg?
What's happening?
One thing's for sure on this show, you never let the truth get in the way of a good story. Complete and utter fabrication from Blewett. Apart from me being the number one man on Dead Set Legends.
16 minutes away from 10 o'clock for your Saturday morning, Adelaide. Triple M rocking football from 11:30. The Western Bulldogs take on the Adelaide Football Club down at Ballarat. But before we get to that, we want to talk about Port Adelaide taking on the West Coast Eagles this Arvo, Rob.
Yeah, here live from 4:05 on your radio dial. West Coast coming over. They're not in great form. We know where Port Adelaide sit on the bottom of the ladder. These teams aren't in great form. It could be a really low-scoring affair. They're 16th and 17th in the comp for kicking a score this year. Mm. Port Adelaide's game plan's changed a fair bit. They're number one in the comp for kicking the ball sideways.
They're what?
Jeez.
Number one in the comp for kicking it sideways or backwards. So last year, they were number one for long kicks. So going forward, taking ground. This year, they're 18th.
What the hell's going on?
So they've increased their marks considerably. So they're playing this chip mark game. Will it work against West Coast? They play a little bit that way. They're first in the comp for kick to handball ratio. It's big in the centre bounce for West Coast. They 24% of their score comes from centre bounce.
Yeah, right. Do you feel like, Rocky, that no Dixon in the goal square to kick long to or perhaps push up to centre half forward to try and give them a target is part of the reason why they feel like they have to go sideways now? It's almost an overcompensation.
Yeah, I think so. I think we've spoken about that forward structure not working. I've harped on it all year. The offensive side of the game has been a real struggle for Port Adelaide this year. And I feel like the second half last week, they got their mojo back. They might have just thrown the game plan out and said, let's go out there. We're playing as bad of footy as we've seen Port Adelaide play for 3 or 4 years last week at halftime, and they turned it around, played some really good footy. Selection this week, we know Carl Amon's dropped out. What does that do for the team morale?
The one thing I want to ask is, obviously being in the system and down there at Port Adelaide as well, what would they have done this week? Would they have reviewed the first half or the second half?
Well, Tom Jonas was on the Rush Hour this week and he said they reviewed the first half, which I found interesting. I think you've got to go through it still and work out what you did wrong in
that first
half.
Wouldn't you try and build on your positives, though, from the second half going into this game at home?
So they may have done the first half early in the week and then gone the back half of the week, gone to the second half and gone, this is how we want to play. So from Thursday's main training, this is the way we want to play. We've got to take the game on a little bit more. So it's a great opportunity in front of their home fans. They just need to win this game. And we heard Tom Jonas come out and say, we will win this game.
West Coast getting smacked as well in front of their home crowd from the Sydney Swans as well. So they're coming off, they've had a really tough season as well, let's be honest.
Well, they have. And the problem with that loss on the weekend was they had so many of their stars come back. So they'll have egos that don't like where they're sitting at the moment after that whack. They'll have copped a bit of heat in the press over in WA. It's just as bad over there as it is here. It can be a bit of a fishbowl. So they'll come out hard, no doubt, from ball one. This isn't going to be a walkover.
No.
I still think Port are a far better team, but it's not going to be a walkover just because of the passion that we know that the Westerners have got for footy and how much heat the West Coast players would have copped. They've got some stars in that side. They're dangerous.
Who wins, Rock?
I think Port do, not by a great margin. I think 10, 15 points, I think it's going to be a nail biter right to them. West Coast are starting to get some players back and back to their best. So it's going to be a good contest. And we know West Coast record at Adelaide Oval versus Port Adelaide. They've never lost.
Luke Shuey.
Well.
Port Adelaide have never beaten West Coast at Adelaide Oval.
Wow, that's a big stat to finish off. Isn't it? Fingers crossed we can get it down the Port Adelaide Football Club this afternoon at Adelaide Oval. Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo, 12 minutes away from 10 o'clock. Jay-Z joins us next. He has some big news regarding Carl Amon. Triple M. Triple M, Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo. And boys, time to head over to Melbourne and get this man on to talk about all things in Aussie rules.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, AFL newsbreaker, Jay Clark.
Clarky, hello to you, mate. Happy Saturday morning. What's the story with Carl Amon, mate? Because it seems like he's on the outer at Port Adelaide.
Yeah, big news when he was left out of the team. I think every Melbourne-based list manager's eyes lit up when they saw this man on the outer. I mean, only 18 in 15 possessions in his last 2 weeks and 38 in round two against Hawthorn. We know All Australian footy last year. He looked like one of the most improved players in the competition, but he's probably been symbolic of the Port Adelaide decline this year. Now, we know Hampton Rovers boy from over here, a lot of teams from here looking to build their midfield depth. Now, that's Hawthorn, that's St Kilda, that's Collingwood, and as an unrestricted free agent, I mean, he is a free hit. He's been on the radar of clubs over here for a very long time. But, Tom, you probably know a lot better than I. How good a player, how do you rate Carl Amon, and how's his season been? Are we overrating him here in Melbourne, or how do you rate him?
No, I don't think so. I think he's come on in leaps and bounds, and he showed that he can transition to inside as well. And it's a strange selection choice for me this week. I think he's been one of their best performers over a two-year period. So, yeah, he's had a couple of quiet weeks, but a little kick in the butts up. But might help him, but I wouldn't have dropped him. And we might see him as sub today, I think. He's certainly in the mix in that emergency selection, but I think he's very unlucky to be left out of the team.
You'd think Port Adelaide, I mean, I think Tom Jonas said guaranteed a victory. I will be absolutely shocked if they lose to West Coast. So I think they'll much better later against Carlton, obviously. Potentially there could be a turnaround tonight.
Yeah, I think they got their mojo back in that second half. Now, we want to talk about umpire dissent. It's the hot topic. Everyone's talking about it. Inconsistent again last night. Is there any more clarity around this?
Oh, it's so hard, isn't it? Because the AFL are saying, look, there is going to be some turbulence. There's going to be an adjustment period, right? So there were three last night. I think Ben Long, Braden Pruce, Jack Steele late in the minute. If it could have been 50 as GWS went forward again, you know, and that could have really been pivotal on the scoreboard with that late goal. So The AFL are absolutely adamant that any sort of hands-out demonstrative arguing with the umpire will incur a 50-metre penalty. I don't think we're going to see a backflip from AFL House on this. So what are clubs and what are players doing? Well, they're being instructed, and these are talks that have been happening over the last 72 hours. Clubs are saying, put your hands on your hips or put your hands in the air. Don't put them out to give away the 50-metre penalty. If you have to do something with your hands, grab your hands together, put them on your hips, stay in the game.
What are we dealing with?
Wow.
Most importantly, it's about staying in the game. So the AFL and clubs are saying, look, they're not going to change the rules. We've got to adjust. We've got to do the right thing. So rather than put their hands out, again, up in the air or on you, if you have to do something with them, but most importantly, stay in the game. The AFL is absolutely certain that over the next sort of 2 months that this will iron itself out and that players will adjust, but there will be some inconsistencies and some frustration. You would hate to see something like that decide a game, or even worse, a big final.
Just get Tesla to create a few robots to send them out there.
Yeah,
to play
the Crowbots are back. Don't worry about that. Craigie's back in the box for the Crows.
Jay-Z, unfortunately, we've been following this man from South Australia for a long, long time here. Rocky and I actually got him drafted, I reckon, with our Central Grand Final call. Jack Hayes, unfortunately, the mature age pickup went down with an ACL, which is just devastating.
Shattering, because I mean he's the kind of player that every club's recruiting managers are crying out for. Find us a big bloke, find us someone who can play forward, who can play in the ruck, who can be aggressive and ruthless and a mobile marking option. Like, he's been an absolute revelation for St Kilda. Shocking and shattering news that he's gone down with this ACL. He's out of contract at the end of the year, but Brett Ratten confirmed last night there'll be a new deal on much better money, you would think, put under his nose straight away, help erode some of that disappointment of his knee, and he'll be a St Kilda player for a couple of years. But every coach, every CEO, every list manager is going, jeepers, how did this guy, like, he's been whacking away for a long time and we didn't take the punts, and he's those big blokes, everyone wants the big blokes who can be versatile and aggressive, and he's all those sorts of things. So he's been a great pickup for the Saints, but shattering news. It means Paddy Ryder is going to have a bigger role to play from here on in the season.
Now, Jay-Z, I want to talk about my Bombers. Now, under the pump, haven't been at their best, would be probably understating it a little bit. So I'm hurting, I'm bleeding over here. Tell me there's a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. Have we got a few stars coming back? Are they going to play?
Jakey Stringer and Zach Merritt are training this morning. So they trained earlier in the week, of course, Jake with his hamstring, Zach Merritt back from his syndesmosis. They trained once already this week, and they're saying to Ben Rutten, look, pick me. So the coaches said, right, we'll go through the main session today, get back here at the club at the morning, we'll put you through the doctors, see that you've pulled up okay. But there is a real chance that they could play against Collingwood in the Anzac Day blockbuster. Expected crowd of 80,000, which will be the biggest for a while, sort of, since the pandemic. But big microscope on the Bombers. Like, seriously, who would be winning their best and fairest at the moment? It's half a chance. It's Nick Martin. They've been awful, really. I mean, where's Dylan Shiel at? The whole midfield. McGrath hasn't had the impact. You know, Darcy Parrish has been down. Draper, we said, is the most exciting player in the competition. Where is he? So the wheel needs to turn for Essendon on Monday. Big crowd, big game. Hopefully that lifts. And Ben Rutten, I'm told, boys, was very, very blunt this week about where the Bombers are at. Mick Malthouse tipped him for the flag. little way off, but look, it should be an absolute beauty. Brody Grundy's a big storyline too. He signed that monster 7-year deal on near $1 million a season, or $950,000. Dylan Shiel was similar at Essendon. Those two boys need a fire and a big one on Monday.
You're a good man, Jay-Z. Thanks so much for joining us on this Saturday morning, and enjoy the rest of your long weekend.
Good on you, boys.
Triple M. Got your Dead Set Legends here until 11:30, then Triple M are rocking footy. Western Bulldogs taking on the Adelaide Crows down at Ballarat, opening up the phones very, very shortly. Where did you fall asleep? But now, time to get into this.
The AFL is tonight rallying around former Port Adelaide player Tom Rockliffe.
The former Port Adelaide player says supporters turned on him after the Power's heartbreaking 3-point loss.
The Carlton Football Club has launched an investigation. It's trying to find out whether the offending fan is a member of the club. But given the incident happened outside the ground, identifying the culprit won't be easy.
A Triple M Dead Set Legends Special investigation.
Wow. What a week it's been for Tom Rockliffe, our man. It's been all over the news all week.
The human headline. After,
oh, hasn't he? He's not just scoops. He's been just neck deep in everything that's been going on in the footy world. And after last week and being spat on at the footy after leaving the MCG, disgraceful act.
Yep.
We were a bit disappointed at the Dead Set Legends. The Carlton investigation failed.
Mm.
The AFL investigation failed.
Mm-hmm.
Dreadful. Well, I'll tell you what won't fail. The Dead Set Legends investigation into this incident, because I'll tell you what, we need to find out exactly who it was that may have just contributed to the whole thing.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying that the spit could not have come from behind. That there had to have been a second spitter.
So we're on the hunt for the second spitter. Because I don't believe there was just one man that spat on our man, Rock.
No, well, we've got a few concerns. We feel as though there's actually a list as long as your arm of people that are lining up to spit at our man. It's been a big year of scoops,
it has.
Rockcliffe, hasn't there? And look, we've got at the top of the list for mine, Alistair Clarkson. We've got some audio here, Tomo, don't we?
Alistair Clarkson has been making phone calls.
Wow,
there it is. That I've heard, and I don't know if he's said which club he's going to, but my mail is that he will be coaching somewhere in 2023.
So we're saying that Clarko might have spat the loogie on our boy Rock.
I mean, the magic loogie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there's a number of people, but I think he's at the top of the list for mine. He was spotted in Adelaide earlier in the winter.
Yep.
Start of the footy season.
Correct.
He might have just been having a look around, making sure that Rocky wasn't getting out of line again.
That's right.
And the other guy that I think that might be just lining up to throw one Rocky's way might be this man.
Well, the Crows supporters love him after he potted last week.
What do you stand for? Yeah,
you're 3 years in and you tackle the fence, you midfield. What do you stand for?
You've got two pretty prominent figures in the AFL world in Clarkson and Rashuda.
Do they get bigger?
Well, they don't.
I don't
they
reckon
don't.
They do.
No,
so there's
absolutely
a couple of heavy-hitting individuals in the AFL world that might be lining up for our man Rocky.
Yeah.
There's one more that just reared his head last week.
That's
might have been a phone call into the Dead Set Legends from this guy. Let's throw to it.
Not quite as prominent.
I'm a little bit disappointed in Rockcliffe's comment. Like, he was an ex-captain of Brisbane, left the state and come here. He didn't fire a shot. Like, the Port Adelaide thought they'd get him here and going to believe in wonders. Oh, sorry, he didn't fire a shot.
That's John from Norwood.
Whack! He tried to ring earlier and Rocky wiped him off like a dirty ass. Kicked him off the switchboard.
So it's got to be one of them, Rock. And honestly, mate, it's time to tell the truth. Which one was it?
Yeah, no, great. See, boys.
No, he's filthy enough. He's filthy enough. He's not happy at all. Are you all right?
Yeah, no, all good. I'll get to me free money Saturdays later.
104.7 Triple M. Triple M, Dead Set Legends, here for another hour. Then Triple M rocks football. The Crows take on the Western Bulldogs down in Ballarat. Triple M are going to be all over that coming up after 11 o'clock, I should say. The Crows versus the Dogs. We're going to preview that at our very, very best.
Now, a little bit of concerning behaviour came across our desk, Ferg. One of us in here, Tomo. It was Tomo.
Yeah, let's be honest. Yep. Let's get it out there straight away.
He fell asleep. So we want the listeners to get involved. 133353. Where have you fallen asleep where you shouldn't have? But what happened was Saturday night, I got a message to say that, look at this behaviour. 8 o'clock at night. So we understand you and me are basically part-time at the moment. We do our work and we do it very, very well.
That's right. Yep.
But Tomo's always complaining. I've got four shows. I'm flat out.
Yeah.
I'm always
busy. Wah, wah, wah.
So he went to a 30th on Saturday night. Got to 8 o'clock that evening. Surely you can stay up for one of your best mates' 30th past 8 o'clock, can't you?
Well, just find a way. Even if you just slip a coffee in, a shot of espresso, or just get an espresso martini into you. I don't know, Red Bull and vodka, something to give yourself a lift, because you're there to celebrate your mate's birthday.
You are. So the interesting thing about the photo was, though, he was sitting there and he had headphones in and he was asleep. So he's clearly listening to the next day, the Crow Show.
No!
Well, no, that was the concerning part of the photo, wasn't it? Because I was like, well, normally you go to a 30th and start socialising and you get involved in the conversation.
You'd think
the fact that he had the Crow Show in his ears from the previous week trying to just pop up for the next
mate,
day.
I was walking around giving everyone my AirPods and said, hey, we've interviewed Ben Keys. Listen to this.
So what happened? Tell
well, there
us
was
what happened,
a bloke right. tucked away in the corner leaning up against the fence asleep with an AirPod in too. So that wasn't good in the background of that photo.
That's our target demographic. In the Anyway, so I'll tell you what happened. I went to this 30th and you'll love this, Ferg. All right. So it was a great Saturday afternoon at the Mount Barker Bowls Club. Okay, no, it was magic. Fantastic. A good mate of mine, Roscoe. It's his 30th. It was fantastic. So you get to the bowls club, and the best thing about that, the best bowls clubs going around in the country are the ones where you walk into the club rooms and there's a little bit of a pong about it. Do you know what I mean?
Musky sort
yes,
of, yes.
There you go. There you go. So we've rolled on in there, and it was $5 stubbies, okay, which is... That's a treat,
yes,
isn't it?
Please.
$5 stubbies, and as you said last week to me, Fergie, you don't bring your own stubby holder, do you?
No, not to a bowls club.
No, you just grab one from
Stop
behind the bar.
The back. Yep.
Perfect. Anyway, so
it's a trust system too, isn't it? Because like you just grab it, and yep. they don't say anything. They just say, yeah, oh, would you like another one for your friend?
100%.
And you'll just bring it back.
100%. Of course we'll bring it back. So it was $5 stubbies, but the bloke behind the bar didn't quite understand that. Okay, so I've rolled up there to get 6 Great Northerns for everyone that I was playing lawn bowls with. Right. All right, so I've rolled in there, 6 Great Northerns. I'm like, g'day, mate, how you going? Did it. So he's standing behind the bar, and I don't think mathematics was his strong suit.
Right.
So he's got the 6 in front of me there on the bar.
Yes.
And he's looked at him, looked down, and he's going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, $13.
What?
So now you understand why Tomo fell asleep.
So I fell asleep pretty early.
I would have been asleep by 5.
Early in proceedings, yes. I fell asleep at like a Bunnings table at kick-ons. So they shut the club. We went back to a house and I was up early with you boys and I just needed to lay my head down.
Shut the eyes for a minute.
So that was a pretty ordinary spot where I've fallen asleep and it's landed in your inbox Sunday morning, Rock, and you loved it.
Inbox, yeah. So I sent him a message.
Scoops Rock,
he's a bit nervous. I said, have you got something to tell us? And he hit the roof. Apparently he absolutely shot out of bed and like, oh no, what have I done? So let's get the family involved. 1-3-3-5-3. Where have you fallen asleep when you shouldn't have?
Absolutely. Brilliant. Let's do it. 1-3-3-5-3. Family, where have you fallen asleep? We'll take your calls next. We've got some double passes to give away to Adelaide United, if you don't mind. We'd love your involvement. 1-3-3-5-3, the weirdest spot you've fallen asleep. Triple M. 18 minutes away from 11 o'clock for your Saturday morning. Got the Dead Set Legends here, Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo. And boys, I had a bit of a doozy last week, it's fair to say, Rock, and you found out about it.
Yes, we did. We got the message on Sunday morning that one of us, Tomo, had fallen asleep at 8 o'clock at his best friend's 30th birthday, which is appalling behaviour.
Old Toucan Sam over there couldn't quite keep himself going.
No, it wasn't too good. I fell asleep around the Bunnings table at kick-ons, which is a horrible spot to fall asleep. Not good whatsoever. So we've opened up the phones on 1-3-3-5-3. Where have you fallen asleep? The weirdest spot. We got Rebecca there. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you. What happened, please?
I was at uni in a psychology lecture on statistics.
Oh.
And I'd fallen asleep at the back of the lecture, but the problem was I was snoring. People next to me told the lecturer that I was snoring, and over the PA, like over his microphone, he was trying to wake me up, saying, that person out the back snoring, can you please wake up?
Oh, no. That's no good. Did we fail the class there, Beck? What happened?
I did drop out of it because I don't like it.
Probably warranted. We got Gary from Redwood Park there. Gaz, where'd you fall asleep?
Yeah, mate, I fell asleep on a train travelling to Victoria once, and some young lads decided to tea leaf my suitcase. And unfortunately for them, I had only been just released from Her Majesty's Hotel.
Oh, no.
And and it had all my release papers in it.
Oh, gas.
So mind you, whilst I was in this said hotel, I got the Dear John letter from the Trees and Kisses.
Yeah.
Henceforth, I was travelling. And so you can imagine these kids surprised when they opened up my suitcase and they seen all this paperwork that this bloke's just been released from prison.
Yeah.
And they thought, who the bloody hell have we stolen off?
Oh, yeah.
And I eventually got the suitcase back.
Pretty ironic. You just got out the big bad house and someone's stolen your gear,
I wasn't travelling too well at the time, I'll tell you. But it all worked out and I got it back and,
Good to hear, mate. Good to hear.
Well done, Gary.
Love that.
Now we'll head out to Little Hampton. Mark?
G'day, Tomo. How you doing, bud?
Yes, I'm good, thank you, mate. Where have you fallen asleep, Marky?
Back in the good old days, about 45 years ago, we used to have discos at the Bridgie Pub every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. We'd frequent them every night. And
brilliant.
One night, I just had a few too many Jim Beams and Black Russians and decided to go and catch 5 minutes to myself down in the toilet.
Oh,
and
no.
Next thing I know, I'm being woken up at about 4:30 in the morning by the cleaners.
Well, on the throne, Marky.
So I wasn't on it. I just sat there for a rest and went... and just rested too long.
Yep, no, that's fair.
Well done, Marky. And Maria, out at Seaton, your husband had a bit of an issue.
Yeah, morning, both. How you going?
Good, thanks.
We were at a Bon Jovi concert.
No way.
Exactly. And my husband is standing up asleep during a Bon Jovi.
Standing up asleep, no way.
That
standing
can't up. Be right.
Who was holding him up?
No, himself. He was just like... It's down like that, and it's like I'm not going to use a touch bikini. It's like the loudest concert, and he's there just sleeping away.
Oh no,
that's unbelievable.
But yeah, mate, this is. But my husband has a beautiful talent. He can fall asleep just like that.
That's a beauty.
Still.
That's tremendous, Maria.
That's outstanding. Well, I actually took my wife to the Adele concert at the Gabba when I was up there and got her a box. And I did the same thing as Tom. I went to the bowls club all day and she picked me up and we went along to the concert sitting up there and I fell asleep.
Oh, no. How about a bit of respect for the artist?
No, not here at Triple M.
No.
Oh, that's very, very good. As we go into James from Morpher Vale. G'day, Jim. How are you?
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Good, mate. Where'd you fall asleep, bro?
Not me. One of my mates. We were at a gentleman's club in Melbourne. He was front row.
Oh, no.
A bit of a kip while the laddie was dancing right in front of him.
Did he leave sort of empty-handed?
He got escorted pretty quickly. The laddie didn't.
But she's totally fair. Oh, you're putting on your best show.
Doing the best you can up there.
Oh, man. Very, very good callers right there. Good phoner, Rocky. You come up with that one?
Yeah, I did. I just can't believe James is mate sitting front row catching flies.
Oh, I'm not sure it was his mate either.
Yeah. The old my mate happened to a mate of mine.
That's right.
Did it, Jimmy? I don't think so, son. 104.7. Triple M, 10 minutes away from 11 o'clock for your Saturday morning. Dead Set Legends in the house until 11:30, then the rub's on and Triple M rocking football. The Crows down at Ballarat taking on the Western Bulldogs. But right now, Fergie and Rock, we're going to talk about the greatest comebacks of all time.
Yeah, well, we are, and it's on the back of Greg Norman, the great white shark.
Yeah.
The great hope of Australian golf for so long. At the time, he was a record-breaking world number one during his prime, and he's making a comeback. What a performance this is going to be! At 67, he's going to make a comeback to the British Open. Huge news, front page, back page of every paper in the country, and it's a great news story. I can't wait to see this happen. I remember back in 2008, I was over in England playing some cricket, and the Great White Shark. Made a run.
Mm.
He made a big run at the British Open. He had the 54-hole lead going into the Sunday. He had the lead after three rounds and looked a good thing. Unfortunately, and this wasn't uncommon throughout his career, he just couldn't quite get it done on the Sunday. But having won a couple of British Opens already, it wasn't the same hype around perhaps maybe a Masters tournament. But certainly, he made a hell of a run. And this is just another comeback in his story. This is a great attempt. Great news story, really, for a guy at that age, at 67, to make a comeback to the British Open, one of the big events of the calendar. It's going to be a great one to watch, I think.
I see this stuff with the comebacks, and there's, I don't know, I love it. I absolutely love it. But 5% of me is a little bit of trepidation. I'm just like, should you just stay retired? Do you know what I mean? If you're going to come back and not be as good. We saw it with Tony Lockett when he tried to come back as well. There's a little part of me that's just like, maybe we should just stay done.
Well, I think the concern there that you're talking about is, you know, is he going to be able to, you know, put the performance on the board that's going to do him justice? And that's probably the concern we've all got, Tomo.
Yep.
So some of the greatest comebacks we've seen over the years, mine would have to be Jason McCartney when he came back from Bali. He played the one game and then retired. It was just a really feel-good story at the time and an amazing thing to do.
Kicked the match winner too, I reckon.
Yeah, kicked the match winner, yep. Carried off and then said, that'll do me, I'm done. So what a great comeback that was. What about for you, Tomo?
The Michael Jordan one for me, and I probably didn't realise it being a little bit younger, the significance of it until watching the last dance on the Netflix doco there. So that was just huge when he retired. It was just after his father passed away, and when he come back was just, you know, insane. And to get come back and win a couple of rings as well, I thought it was brilliant. What about you, Fig?
Oh, look, I think Tiger Woods, when he made his comeback to the Masters after a long hiatus from the game, it's probably not, you know, not necessarily the same feel-good effect that a couple of the ones you're talking about, but I think everyone was just pumped to see him back at the golf after, you know, such a tumultuous couple of years. It was just great to see him make a good run at the Masters and then to actually win the Masters again after that time out. Just unreal.
What about a couple of your Essendon boys? Paul Salmon come back for season 2002, and obviously Tim Watson come back and broke the Crows hearts in 93.
Yeah, so 93 was, I reckon that's the pick of them, isn't it? So, you know, Sheeds knew he needed a senior head around the young players. The Baby Bombers was an enormously talented group, and to get him back up and running, to get himself back up and running, Tim Watson on the back of Sheeds' call was an enormous effort. And then Paul Salmon just coming back for Sheeds to try and find something, to try and get another flag out of that unbelievable side that only won one.
Yep. One of the great comebacks of all time. You're the voice trying to understand.
Oh, come on.
Which comeback? Which one of the 15?
0488 5104 7 if you have one to get involved. Triple M. 11 o'clock, family. Great to have your company. 3 minutes past 11 o'clock. 23 degrees around the city of Churches today. Massive game at Adelaide Oval this afternoon. Port Adelaide taking on West Coast. And then the Crows taking on the Western Bulldogs down at Ballarat. We're going to preview that very, very shortly. But our boy Ferg was down at the Arca Bay with the Rush Hour Boys last night, Rock, and he did very, very well.
Yes, no, he was very good. I didn't know whether it was Callum Ferguson or James Brayshaw at one stage.
Oh,
he
yes.
was very, very good. So if you want to hear that story, download the listener app and go back. That'll be ready for download soon. But the one thing I noticed, Tomo, and Ferg, you were there, Jarz, he just seemed flat.
It was a bit flat, what, in front of the people? Because Jarman usually laps that gear up.
Yeah, he does. And there was plenty down there, let me tell you. There was a lot happening, a lot of excitement around the Triple M boys and the free beers being given out. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, good.
I think Bernie actually got it bumped up to 100. He got it wrong. He started announcing 100 free beers, so the manager came out with another 50. So let's just say everyone was...
Probably just for Bernie, to be honest.
Everyone was juiced up, let me tell you. So, but talking about juice Jarman.
Yeah, what happened there?
It's a bit flat, and I found out why.
Okay.
Our marketing man, Gunnar Clute, was down there as well, and he'd been floating around the offices a bit like you, Tomo.
Floating
around Flinders Street. Well, Gunnar was here, and he spotted Jarz at about 3 p.m., an hour before the show was meant to kick off.
Well, at the station?
Here, at the studio.
The hell is research?
Anyway, he was floating around, bit of a strut, head wobble, as he does, Juice, and... started spraying everyone, like, where is everyone? They should be working. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Where is everyone? And
the hell?
Gunner looked at him and went, mate, aren't you meant to be over at the Arca Bar? He reckons he hadn't seen a bloke flap around like it. Flapping around everywhere, feathers flying off.
The blood leaving his face.
Papers falling out of his arms as he was leaving the studio. And it was just an absolute shambles. I reckon that might be why he was a bit flat.
There's probably a bit of that. The weird thing was he actually shared it to his personal Instagram about 2 hours before that moment, which is becoming a real issue. Oh, man. We preview the Crows taking on the Western Bulldogs next. 104.7.
Triple M.
Triple M. 104.7 on the dial, and we are also on Listener as well, LISTNR. So if you miss anything from the show, make sure you download the podcast. It is free. It'll be there about 11:45 today on the Listener app, LISTNR. Time to get into the Crows versus the Doggies. We're going straight there very, very shortly.
Yeah, that game kicks off around 1:15 our time, but you'll hear the rub first. They'll lead you into that first bounce. Get you up and about. And I know I questioned the Crows last week and said what's their identity, and keep digging for how they play. And I've worked it out. They're a stoppage team.
Stoppage team now. Okay.
They have to focus on their stoppage. So they're first in the competition for scoring from clearance at 53%. So 53% of their scores come from stoppage, which is off the charts.
Yeah, yeah.
Off the charts. So if they get that part right today, they'll be right in this game. But we know that they take on the Western Bulldogs, who are a very good stoppage team, very good around the centre bounce, centre clearance. So they're going to try and use the ball short, shift, and if it turns into a turnover game, they're in a lot of trouble today, the Crows, if it starts to bounce around. But if they can focus on getting the ball to the boundary line, get some stoppages, they've got some really good inside players, Keys, Laird's back in there, Crouch. So they've got a really good mix. Tex Walker straightens them up down front. There's no doubt about that. The forward line's functioning really well. They're efficient when they go inside 50. So they're six in the competition for scores per inside 50, which is a really good stat for them.
That is a great stat. And that's probably a bit of a Jordan Dawson effect, I think.
Yep.
I don't know what you guys think, but certainly he's come in to play that role. They want to get the ball into his hands as much as possible. If they can do that enough, they'll be a threat to the Dogs. I can't see them winning. But if they can get the contested ball right, like you said, Rocky, are they with a chance? Or
I don't think so. I think the Dogs are ready to make a statement. I think they've been down on their form, and we all expected the Western Bulldogs to be right there with Melbourne. They're not there at the moment. So down at Ballarat, I think they'll kickstart their season, the Bulldogs, today. A good challenge for the young Crows to go down there and play against them. But they've had some positive signs, and we've seen last week they kicked 10 goals 5 from stoppage. So If you're listening to it on Triple M and there's a lot of stoppages, it's a good thing if you're a Crow supporter. You should be up and about.
Who I'm looking forward to seeing is young Jackson Hatley, actually, because Rory Sloane obviously out, unfortunately, with the ACL. So Hatley gets his opportunity, a good South Australian boy. He's from the Central District. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes. What do you reckon there, Rock?
Yeah, another one that fits in. I think he's sort of bitten his time a little bit, and he's got his opportunity now to go through the midfield. Another one, he's again a clearance player for him. And so having Dawson around those stoppages, I think you're right, Fergie, he adds a class to him, but it's how much ball they can get going forward. Can they defend? We know the Bulldogs, they're a really high disposal team, so they need to find a way to make sure that they don't get their hands on the footy. But Hatley's a good inclusion for the Crows.
Well, it is great that you've been able to nail down what their style is, Rocky. There's a lot to like about what the Crows are putting out there at the moment. They could have easily been 3-2 if they'd knocked off Freo if it wasn't for their first half. It could look quite pretty at the moment. They'd be on the verge of the eight.
And the Bombers, mate.
Yeah, they've got us covered comfortably at the moment.
No, but I'm just saying that game against the Bombers. I reckon because that was a roll of the dice. I reckon they could easily be 4-1. But saying that,
it could have gone either way.
It goes both ways as well. You know, like to win that game against Port Adelaide in the showdown. So it does go both ways.
Yeah, right. And the good sides win the close ones. You learn a lot from those close wins, I think. Mm. And the Crows managed to get one of if they were able to win one of those two, it would have given them an even bigger boost. So they're going all right, the Crows, I think.
Tough road trip as well.
Yeah,
going down to Ballarat. They're lucky it's not the middle of winter. It was the coldest game I've ever played down there. Really? Have you ever been to Ballarat?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the coldest place in Australia, I reckon. So
I've just looked up the weather. Tops of 18 at right now. 13 degrees. Which is... But you'd want it now rather than freaking mid-June, though, right?
Yeah, but you know what? We're delivering on the Dead Set Legends. Nothing but clear blue skies. Oh. So, look, it's going to be radiant sunshine over there, and the Crows will be a chance.
I'm looking forward to that.
What are our tips this week? Port Adelaide take on West Coast.
Yeah, I think Port Adelaide get it done tonight.
Yeah, Port win.
And I think that the Western Bulldogs will be too strong. They'll go on a nice little run. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm with you too. I think Port are going to show something tonight, and it's going to give them a bit of a boost going forward. That's what I think. Crows no good.
I think we're all swinging the same way today.
Yep. Beautiful. No worries. We're going to wrap the show up next. 104.7 Triple M. Triple M, 19 minutes past 10 o'clock. Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tom Owen Boys. Time to get my man on the line.
This motorsport update with Rusty is brought to you by Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
Rusty, hello, mate. You're dominating in the podcast scene. Rusty's Garage Podcast. You can get it for free on the Listener app. How you going, mate? All right?
Morning, guys. How are you all?
Yeah, top of the world. Fine. Now, rain has caused a bit of chaos in the F1 qualifying overnight in Italy. Dan Ricciardo has been outgunned by his teammate, but the McLarens have continued the form upswing we saw in Australia, I should say, Rust.
Yeah, definitely. And I reckon the devil, as you're kind of pointing out there, is in the detail here. So rain interrupted, several red flags in that qualifying session. And at the very pointy end, Dan only got one flying lap, whereas those guys in front of him got two. So we actually thought the car would improve on a final run, which he didn't get the chance to do because of a red flag. So Max Verstappen got the pole from the championship leader, Charles Leclerc. Lando Norris third, Dan Ricciardo sixth. But Mercedes nowhere, guys. They were outside the top 10. So that's a good job by McLaren. Yeah.
And a new contract for Ferrari driver Carlos Sainz. The media thought he was having a few issues there, Rusty, didn't they, with the negotiation? But had he actually signed already?
Yeah, exactly right. So I think they were trying to figure out, oh, is there a problem here? Is it a two-year deal or only a one-year? And maybe it's got a one-year plus an option, which he didn't want, and so on. In fact, he'd already signed, so it was just a matter of announcing it. Now, I never know whether to believe these details, guys, but they say it is worth $10 million US.
Heaven.
And naturally, in those in that sort of environment, if you get points and podiums, and then, you know, he hasn't had a race win yet, but he'll get one this year because he's fast. That's worth even more in an incentive sense.
Now, Rusty, did I see that Supercars driver Shane Van Gisbergen is trying to drive in a round of the World Rally Championship?
No.
Do you think that'll actually happen?
I actually do. I reckon that'll happen, guys. Wow. He's going to do a couple of other international events this year. The Supercars thing will absolutely be his priority. So providing that, you know, there's no sudden changes there. There's no clash there at the moment. He's a Kiwi, as you know, so he'll get the chance to go and compete at the World Rally Championship round by the sounds of it. That's what they're trying to do in New Zealand. So some remarkable roads over there. Very cool opportunity. And the litmus test was him going to do a round of the Australian Rally Championship a few weeks ago, where he finished second on debut.
No way.
Just about anything. Unbelievable.
Wow, unreal. You're a jet, Rusty. Thanks so much for joining us, and enjoy the rest of your long weekend.
I hope you and the listeners have a great weekend too. Cheers.
Thanks, Rusty.
That's Rusty for Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.